started driving a bus, a little bus, I guess, for a handicapped kid, part-time.
But do you think that'd be too pushy for a high school if you were feeling that?
Tell you the thing about it, he's very outspoken, so if he feels you are and doesn't wanna do too that close, he'll tell you.
Okay, all right, okay.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are we this morning?
Blessed. We're in the house of the Lord.
And we're all thawed out, right? Today it's supposed to be about 50, so get out there and do some walking. Enjoy the beauty and the warm temps that the Lord's given us. We have announcements. Today is what?
Birthday
Sunday. Woohoo! Who has a birthday in February? Francis isn't, there's one back there, Francis is not here, and hers is actually on Valentine's Day, the 14th. There are treats back there, but yours truly did not read the packaging correctly, and I thought it was 10 individual cakes in a box, but they were packaged in fine print, they're 2 to a pack. But there should be plenty back there, so everybody take a birthday treat. We all need a little sweet now and then. Go ahead.
Ladies, don't forget the bake sale on the 18th. You can, if you need somebody to pick them up, just give me or Wanda a call. We're going to try to set up on the Friday night before, around 4 o'clock.
I think that's what we did before.
Around 4 o'clock. But if you bring baked goods, you can let me know if we need to pick them up. And if you want to bring them on Saturday, have them to us by at least 8 o'clock because bake sale only lasts to 10.
Right. Did everybody hear that? So start checking on those ovens, make sure they work. Okay. Just another announcement. Karen, I told her early in the week, and then I didn't remind her, and her week is like my week sometimes. Till you get to the end of the week, you forgot what you were told. We did collect 121 cans of soup for the food bank for a Super Bowl. I think we do a whole lot better than the Super Bowl. 121 cans of soup from a small congregation like this, I think is great, and that shows where our hearts are. Any other announcements?
I just want to announce that the butchering papers are still in the back, so if anybody wants to order any meat for the butchering, go ahead and get them filled out and get them to me so I can get them turned in.
Oh, we didn't sing happy birthday either, did we?
No,
we didn't. Yeah, let's sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Any other? Bob?
Did you already announce about the globes? Okay. At the end of the service today, if each one of you would take a globe and the dish and stuff out of the window, we've set the Kleenexes on the fence, but we're going to put the globes, that'll be on the rear bench, and we're going to box them off and take them back. But we got the guys coming to do the windows and the staining and to start on it Tuesday or Wednesday, so we just need to be able to remove anything from the window seat. Thank you.
Also, feel free, if anybody wants to take in one of the ones out, as we have five left, please feel free to do so.
Yes.
I think the covers are actually come on.
There's plastic covers back there. Anybody that wants a poinsettia, doesn't matter if you donate it, money or not, please feel free to take them because I'm forgetting to water them. I did so well. I had a note on my kitchen bar and I did it. And the note went because I thought the poinsettias would go and they're still here. So please take a poinsettia. Any others? All right. Call to worship comes from Psalm 112, verses 1 through 9. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. Please bow your heads. Father God, we just thank you for the privilege to be here today. And we just thank you for your word. Father, help us to walk in your footsteps. Help us to talk, not only talk the talk, but walk the walk. Father, we just are so thankful that we are your children and that we can be with you forever as long as we let you in to be Lord of our lives. Father, again, we thank you. We can't praise you enough, and it is in the precious name of Jesus we ask these favors and blessings. Amen. Okay, now we can join in hymn number 144.
We stand for a...
Oh,
heads for just a brief word of prayer over the love offering box. Father, we just come before you again to ask that you would graciously put a blessing upon the offerings that are in your love box, Father, that you would bless not only the offering, but the giver, those hands that have worked diligently and shared a portion of what they earn. Father, we just ask a blessing upon them. Father, just help us to be good stewards of the offerings that we receive, that we may lift your kingdom up while we are here on earth, and that we may reach out to those less fortunate and be a helping hand. And it is in the name of Jesus we ask. Amen. Okay, right now, before we get into the sharing joys and concerns, Brother Larry is going to anoint.
Come on up, brother. Anytime that we have the privilege to anoint a brother or sister is just that, a blessing. Been a practice that's been part of our brethren way for all of our history of over 300 years. When the early brethren were searching the scriptures to say, we want to just be church the way the Bible says, they found the anointing passage and they said, why didn't we know anything about that? And so let's begin to do that. And so they did. And our brother has asked to be anointed. You know, he's been going through some difficult struggles. When I was here last time, I thought he looked like a truck ran over you. You look a little more chipper today. But you said you have an MRI coming up?
Next week.
Next week?
Not this week, but next week.
Yeah. Okay. So, any time, I'm going to read the scripture, but any time when we're feeling like we need that extra touch of the Lord's presence, the Lord's healing, it's a good time to ask for the anointing. The words are from James chapter 5, and beginning with verse 13. Listen carefully. They're familiar, but listen. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I want you to see a couple things. First is that anointing shouldn't be rare. Because it says, if anyone of you in trouble, you should pray. Anyone happy, let him sing. Anyone sick, call for the anointing. Let's think about that. If trouble hits our lives, what's one of the first things we do? We pray, even if our prayer life hadn't been the greatest. If trouble slams us, we're praying. And is anyone happy? Sing. What do we do almost without thinking about it? When the sun is shining and when it's beautiful and when everything's going great, we'll be humming or singing or turning on the radio or putting in our favorite CD. That almost comes natural. And what James, the brother of our Lord, is saying, as natural as it is to pray when you have trouble, and as natural as it is to sing when you're happy, it should be that natural to call for the anointing when you have that need. And the word sick there, is any one of you sick? You should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil. The word sick there, it's not a great English translation from the Greek. The Greek word is asthene, and here's how it's defined in a Greek dictionary. To be weak, infirm, inefficient, doubting, hesitant, unsettled, timid, afflicted, distressed, or in need. I remember the first time I saw that in the Greek, I thought, well, I need to be anointed every day.
Amen to that.
And that's what James is saying. It ought to be that common. We shouldn't just be for extreme situations. Anytime when we're not feeling and being all that the Lord would have us to be, it's an appropriate time to call for the anointing. He should call the elders, the church, to pray over him and anoint him with oil. And that reminds us that any of the ordinances we have, whether it's baptism, whether it's communion, here anointing, any of the ordinances only have power and effect as they have power and effect in our heart. Nothing magical about the oil we're going to use today. Nothing magical about this little ritual. The power is in the heart. And so we must call, we must believe in anointing and calling the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith might make the sick person well. Is that what it says? No, it says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. And so there's a promise here when we call for the anointing that the Lord is going to bless us. That the Lord's going to bring his wholeness, his wellness to it. And that might come in many ways, and it might come in a way different than we expect. But the promise is when we call on the Lord in this way, there's going to be a touch of his wholeness to be with us. And if he has sinned, he'll be forgiven. James does what modern medicine is just beginning to really explore, and that's the interlinking between the spiritual side of who we are and the physical side of who we are and the emotional side. Now we all kind of know this. If we're going down the hall in the middle of the night to the bathroom, we stub our toe. Usually in the next minute, we're not praying, right? Or if we're having an argument with our loved ones, we might get a tummy ache about that. There's this intertwining of our physical being, our spiritual being, and our emotional being. And here it is, right in the New Testament, acknowledging that. So it's saying if we're coming to the Lord asking for healing, for his touch, we want to make sure that spiritually we're okay too. And so we always give the person an opportunity, and we will in a moment, if there's anything they'd like to confess. And then the promise that the prayer of the righteous man, the righteous person, is powerful and effective. So, brother, as you've been dealing with...
Brother Larry, I don't know if there's anyone else that would
we can certainly... As you've been dealing with this, and as you come today to the Lord to ask for anointing, is there anything in your life that you would like to confess, share before your brothers and sisters?
Well, I've never been perfect, that's for sure. But God has always directed me, I think, to be able to be fair and equal to each and every person that I've come across, and fair to him as I talk to him and ask for his reserve in my body and for others. We just know that his salvation is the strongest thing that can honor us, you know, and I just appreciate it. But
and it is
if I brought any shame or anything to any of you guys, please let me know, because it wasn't intended. Love you.
And it is your desire to bring yourself completely, mind, body, and spirit, to the Lord for his touch as you face this.
Yes.
Then, brother, upon the confession of faith, honesty, and trust that you have expressed before our Lord and before your brothers and sisters, we anoint you this morning in the name of the Father, for the forgiveness of sin. We anoint you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the great physician, the healer. And we anoint you in the name of the Holy Spirit for the Spirit's power and presence and comfort in your life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for our brother. He's an important part of this family of faith. He's loved and cared for, and he loves those who gather here. And he's been under the weather. He has some things going on. And a lot of tests coming up. Lord, we don't understand everything. He doesn't understand everything that's happening, but you do. And we pray for you to guide the doctors and the technicians, those who will be performing the tests, those who will be reading those tests then, making decisions about the future. And we just pray that you would bring your help and your hope and your healing in the power of the name of Jesus for our brother. And may he know, as this scripture has promised, may he know without a shadow of a doubt that you are with him. Thank you, Lord. We lift him to you, and we remember as we pray together the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
And I don't think I'm speaking out of turn. I think I know your congregation well enough to know that you do believe mightily in anointing, and that on any Sunday, or it doesn't have to be on a Sunday. If you'd like some of your leaders to come to your home, they'd anoint you at home. It doesn't have to be done in a big setting, can be done in a more private setting. But make use of this great promise, this ordinance that the Lord gave us. Feel free to ask for it at any time. And it doesn't need to be just physical. It might be something emotional you're dealing with. It might be a relationship thing you're dealing with. It might be a decision you're dealing with. To ask the Lord's presence in that moment is something very special to do. So make use of it, sister.
And concerns. Maxine?
My sister and I were to see my sister Irene yesterday, and it wasn't a good day. She's having some health problems that are not associated with her Parkinson's disease, but she needs prayer.
Yeah, we lost another member of our class, Shirley Kai Holtz Tressler. She's from this area right up on Old Freddy Road, by the way. That's where she lived and grew up and went to school with us. She passed away, and we want to keep her family and support their prayers. And also, this issue and the situation over in Ukraine. Father, that you be able to bring us all together in a peaceful, loving manner. The leaders commit to the Lord and come in peace and harmony instead of hate. And anyone else that is in the congregation that people will like that, Ralph, Bob, Wilton, and Danny, and so on and so forth, all of those. Steve, by the way, Steve and Faye, etc. The Lord knows who they are. Just trying to mention as many names as I possibly can recall.
You've been remembering my wife Deb in prayer a week ago.
Right.
Friday, she had back fusion. This is the third surgery in just a little over a year for her. They found a part of the first back fusion had failed, so the doctor had to repair that. Then he did the new fusion, and then he did what he called a cleaning out of the nerves for stenosis.
So it was 5 hours in the operating room. And she's coming along. She's up and walking a bit. She's a very active person, and so this doesn't go well, needing to be down. But she can't, she can get up and she can walk, but she can't twist, she can't turn, she can't lift. And that's really, when you're, you know, when you're active, that's hard to remember all those things and to do that. So she's been a little discouraged. You know, she's really come along, I think, quite well, but please keep praying for her, Deb. And then on my drive over this morning, my 8-year-old granddaughter, Natalie, and her dad had messaged me last night and said she's been diagnosed with strep throat. And this morning, I got a little Facebook message from her, said, "Pap, would you pray for me? I don't feel very good." Aww. And so I messaged back and told her I was coming here to preach this morning and that I would ask the good people here to pray for Natalie. So.
Of course, we want to lift up Brother Larry as he comes with. He's a blessing to us each and every time he comes down here and shares with us and to worship with us. And we just praise God for that. And we also want to thank Paul Schilt that has some surgery coming up, I think.
The 27th.
27th?
Yeah, I have him here on my list.
That's good.
Yeah, the 27th. Let's just pray that he stays healthy so that they don't have to reschedule, because you know what it's like when they reschedule, it's further out. Because it has to do with the heart. We could sooner get it done rather now than rather later.
And the congregation here as well, and our families, and so many others just don't want to come to mind right now. I didn't have them written down. And quite a few. Just put in the rest of Bob's list.
Okay. So we've got Bob's list. I saw Bradley's here.
I want to continue praying for our brother Bill and Woody. Salvation of all their family.
Continue to look at the Baker family. Some of us have some procedure and some of us have some testing coming up. So.
Also, remember Alice's friend George. He's back in the hospital. It was a blood pressure issue. Now they found bleeding where they have the stents. So let's just pray for the doctors. Lord, guide them for a solution. Danny?
My list, but also pertaining to Wilton, he's been receiving cards and visits, and he just really, really appreciates that a lot. It's really uplifted him.
And I forgot to announce the sunshine box in the back for Wilton. I think I'll let Judy, if that's okay with you, I'll bag what's in there up, and you can go ahead and take it. And then anybody that hasn't put in the box yet and would like to, we'll still keep it there for another week or so. Because we need to let him and Tammy and the kids know we're thinking about it. Any others? Okay. Let's come before the Lord in prayer, however it's comfortable for you to do so. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you to lift you up, to lift praises up to you, to give you thanks for all that you do each and every day of our lives. There's always some thing that you do. Sometimes maybe it's the smallest that we don't see, but we just thank you for the gifts and the blessings that you give us. We thank you for the answered prayers. for we have had many on this list, and you have brought healing to them, and we just thank you for that. Father, we thank you for this church, your church. May Monocacy be a beacon to all the community. May we, as your children here at Monocacy, go out and spread your good news and just have a loving outreach to those in the community. Father, we just want to lift up those to you that are suffering, those that need healing, those that need comfort. We think of the youngest, Natalie. Oh, isn't it wonderful to know that there's a young little girl out there that knows she can come to Jesus. Father, that's my prayer, that we guide all of our little people to you, that they can come and ask for prayer. Father, we just ask that you would touch her in a mighty way, that you would give her good health, that she can go about her busy day, for we know an 8-year-old has a very busy day. Father, we think of Pastor Larry's wife, Deb, who's recovering from surgery, and we just ask that you would keep your healing hand upon her, strengthen her, heal her, so that she can get back to her routine. Father, we think of George, who's now back in the hospital again. We've lost track of how many times in the last few months he's been in and out of the hospital, Father. We just ask that you would work mightily in that situation, that you would guide the doctors and direct them to the answer needed. Father, we think of Brother Paul, whose surgery is coming up on the 27th. We just ask that you would keep him healthy and well so that he can have his procedure. And Father, there, may you also guide those doctors, guide their hands when doing that teacher's procedure. And be with Sister Barb before she is his caregiver. And she's his soulmate. Strengthen her and give her courage through all this. Father, we think of Ralph, who has struggles, and now he has a cold. And you know, we all know when we have a cold, we're just not up to par. But we just ask that you would bless him with healing, that you would strengthen him. We think of Maxine's sister, Irene, in the home. Father, we just ask that you would guide the doctors in that situation and that you would be with the family and give them understanding, for it's not easy to see a loved one that is fading in their health and their mental status. So, Father, we just ask that you would bless Irene and bless the family. We ask that you give Michelle's brother's family blessing. Give them, help heal their hearts, for now they are truly heartbroken at the loss of a son, a loss of a nephew. Father, we just ask that you be with that family. We think of the passing of Shirley, that you would be with her family, Father. That you would, that in any case, when there's a loved one passing, that you would flood, the memories would flood back into the minds of those loved ones so that they can find comfort and just remember in time past. Father, we think of Pat. We think of Wilton. We think of Bob. Steve, there we see a blessing. He's finally back amongst us and feeling better and still needs a little bit to go, but Father, we know that you will take care of it. We think of Phil and Woody. We think of the Baker family. We think of Bob's list, Jerry's list, the Peters family, Travis. So many need your touch and your healing hand, Father. But we know that you are the Almighty, that you can take care of all. You don't run out of strength. You don't run out of courage, Father. We just thank you for your healing. Father, we think of our families that are lost. Oh, yes, Father. I'm sure there's not one in here that isn't concerned about one of their loved ones. Father, help us as brothers and sisters to pray for those that haven't quite found you yet. Help us to be of encouragement. Help us not only to talk the talk, but walk the walk, Father, so that they can see. They may not pick up that Bible and read it, but if they look at our lives, Ah, they'll get a taste of your word. And what a preview to heaven that we could give them here on earth if we treat them with love and kindness and just show we care. Father, we think of Ukraine, the devastation that's been in that country. And Father, we just ask that there would be peace once again in that land so that they can rebuild, that families can come back to their homes. And Father, for those leaders that are greedy, that don't have the love of Jesus in their heart, we just ask that you would work mightily upon them. For we know in the days of old that you could break down the hardest of hearts, Father, and we just ask that you do that now. Father, be with our government, our government leaders, our school leaders, and yes, our religious leaders, for as we saw today in Jeremiah, there are false teachers. But Father, we just ask that you would work mightily in the midst of all this, and we pray that they would one day come and seek you out and know the truth and live the truth. Father, now we just ask that you would be with the church directory, each name that's listed there, each family, that 2023 would be the year that they return to your house to worship and honor and love you. Father, we ask that you bring the children in. Bring them in, as that little song goes. Bring the children back into Sunday school so they can hear your word, learn your truths, and learn your ways. Father, now lastly, we just lift up Brother Larry, for we know that he studied and meditated this week, and that we know when he stands behind this sacred desk that your words will flow freely through him. And we just ask that you would bless him, bless his ministry, keep him in good health so that he can keep working for you, Father, and serving you. Father, lastly, we just ask a blessing upon this congregation, that what we would be good stewards, and that we would be your children, and that we would be about spreading your word and spreading your love. Father, always help us to love one another. For if we can't love one another inside these walls, how are we going to love people outside the wall that we don't know? So, Father, we just ask a blessing upon the congregation. Now may we unite our hearts again. I know we already prayed that prayer, but we can't pray it enough. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now let's unite our voices in hymn number 517.
Please stand.
Yeah.
have Jesus as your friend.
Amen.
The sermon title this morning is Let's Talk About Peace. We should have this intercom outside so it resonates throughout. Scripture comes from John 14, verses 23 through 27. Please follow along where I err, because sometimes I do. You can correct. Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen for that. Brother Harry.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's always a pleasure to be with you. The drive over from Lancaster doesn't seem so long. I'm worried about that, but I put on my gospel music, and there's not much traffic on a Sunday morning, and it wasn't bad at all. So it's so nice to be with you again, and thank you for your prayers for Deb, and this morning for little Natalie. She's a little fireball. You nailed it when you said busy life. But it did warm my heart that she asked for us to pray. As we mentioned about my wife Deb, that surgery was on January 27th, which was just a week on Friday. And they said she's doing well, but the process is slow and painful. Some of you have been through surgeries like that. She's still very limited in what she can do. She's no lifting, no twisting, no bending. So last week I had planned to stay just pretty close to home, just to be there for her. She also has, which I inherited when I married her, a big bulldog, Darby, who is spoiled rotten. And doesn't like to be away from Mama, and doesn't like to be off the bed where Mama's in. And so Darby cries and whines. So Darby and I have become good friends this week as I try to comfort her while Deb needs to be in bed and can't have the dog around. So I knew that it was going to be that kind of week, and I knew that I was just going to have to stay close to home, and so I had planned to use it as a reading week. And I read a new book, which if you're a reader, I'd sure recommend to you. The author is Deborah Cadbury. The book's entitled The School That Escaped the Nazis, The True Story of a Schoolteacher Who Defied Hitler. A very, very profound read. I have this love for Israel and the Jewish people. I've had the privilege to travel to Israel twice. This last time to do some extensive study at Yad Vashem, which is the Holocaust memorial and museum and study school that's there. Pretty amazing. And so I do love to read. And this book tells the story of a German Jewish by background woman by the name of Anna Essinger, who had a boarding school in Germany with a rather progressive outlook on education. And as Hitler's evil begins to unfold, Anna, who was very well read, had read Hitler's Mein Kampf. She knew his philosophy, and she began to watch how the new regime began to even influence the local schools, teaching those children that Jews were not quite human, even their classmates among them. The picture there from a classroom where they're measuring, they have a little Jewish boy standing there and they're measuring his head and stuff, and to show that they're not really like us, that they're not really good. And Hitler believed that World War I was caused entirely by the Jews, and that's why he really wanted them out. Even though, and sometimes we miss this, the Jews in Germany and Poland and that whole area, many of them had lived in that area for generations and generations and were assimilated. Many of them weren't even practicing Jews, but they were ethnic, Jewish by ethnicity, and he wanted them all gone. And so Anna begins to realize that if that's what Hitler's regime is wanting the schools to teach, that can't be what I'm going to teach at my school. And so she secretly moved, and it's the whole story how she pulled it off. She moved her children and her teachers all to England. And she bought an old manor house there, and she began to set up her school there. And as the Third Reich unfolds, Anna's school became a place where many children from all the countries that were being overthrown by Hitler were sent out of the country by their parents to try to get them to safety. In time, this included traumatized children who had experienced the unspeakable horrors of the concentration camps and the other things, the ghettos, and many of these children, their whole families had been wiped out. And Anna took them in her school, which was now in England. The book is written through the eyes of those children who are now in their 80s and 90s. And she quotes extensively from them as they remember the trauma that they had experienced and the tender, life-saving care of Anna's school. It's an amazing book, and I had to set it aside several times just to compose myself. It would move me to tears. Sometimes I had to settle my emotions. I had already planned for us to talk today about peace as a kind of follow-up on my last message, which maybe you remember, was about grace. I titled that message, "Let's Talk About Grace." Today, let's talk about peace. Because I believe, like grace, peace is an often very misunderstood Christian and biblical concept. Now, as brethren, of course, we're part of what's referred to as the historic peace churches, along with the Mennonites and the Quakers. We are a peace church. But I fear too often in our minds that has only to do with our response to war. To say that we're a peace church in many of our minds just had to do with war. And that's one small but important part of it. One small piece of the biblical concept of peace. But reading this book this week is the perfect prelude for me to talk with you today about the much broader implications of the biblical concept of peace. So let's pray, and then we'll dig in a little bit. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning together. It's good. I always enjoy coming to worship with my friends here, and I thank you for this church. And now, Lord, as we prepare to study your word, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be mightily present. I pray that my thoughts and words be way in the background, and your perfect truth will be what's front and center, and that you'll open all of our, including mine, Lord, you'll open all of our hearts and minds to hear truth from you today. So bless us as we study. Teach us by your Spirit, we pray. Love, 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 love. The gospel in a word is love. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Love, love, love. Joy, 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 joy. The gospel in a word is joy. Joy that fills to overflowing. Joy, joy, joy. Peace, 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 peace. The gospel in a word is peace. Peace that passes understanding. Peace, peace, peace. Oh Lord, as we study today, grant us your love and your joy and your peace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back a few weeks to Christmas. The poinsettias are still here. We remember those lonely shepherds on the hillside near Bethlehem. We remember the angel appearing to them and then the choir of angels appearing to them. They announced the birth of the Messiah, long awaited by the Jews. And they promise, as the King James Version states it in Luke 2:14, and you know it well, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now those beautiful and familiar words, so familiar to us, seem to promise God's peace for all. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But I want you to be clear, almost all biblical scholars today understand that at this particular point, the King James translation doesn't quite get it accurate. Not quite what the original Greek says. And here are how some other very trustworthy translations render this verse from the New American Standard Bible, which is the closest to word for word from the original Greek that we have. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased. NIV, which is what I read and study from most. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. From the newer translation, the English Standard Version, which is many are using as kind of a replacement for King James, it's a very, very good, solid translation, word for word. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And from the New Revised Standard Version, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. Do you catch it? Do you hear it? There's a little difference there. The King James is, glory to God in the highest, and peace towards men. Peace towards men. But these others all imply peace for those with whom he's pleased, peace for those on whom his favor rests. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. Peace among those he favors. You see, God, through the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, is offering peace to all humanity. But only those who receive Christ as Lord and Savior. This Messiah that they're celebrating. Only those who receive this Jesus as their Lord and Savior will experience the fullness of this gift of peace that God is offering. To receive the promise of peace, you must receive the peacemaker, amen. Jesus. And it's a subtle but important difference. That's why in our morning passage, as we had it read for us from the Gospel of John, the Last Supper, it's just hours before Jesus would be executed. Jesus tells his disciples, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Psalm 14, verse 23 and verse 27. there is a peace unlike any other so-called peace the world would offer you. It's the peace that was proclaimed by the Christmas angels, and it's a special gift of God for those who receive this Messiah he was sending, his Son, as Lord and Savior. You see, five times in the New Testament, God is referred to as the God of peace. The Apostle Paul writes to the Philippian church, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and the God of peace will be with you." That's Philippians 4, verse 7 and then verse 9. So let's explore what this God-given gift of peace really looks like. And first, you see, first it's talking about peace with God, peace between us and God. In our sinful natures, we are separated from God as surely as Adam and Eve were dismissed from the Garden of Eden. But the peace that God grants us when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior brings us back into that relationship, that place of peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So here's the question. Do you carry guilt or worry about sin in your past, or maybe even in your present? Ever worry, have I been too bad to be saved? Oh, how it aches at my heart in my years as a pastor when I would hear a senior saint say, as they approach the end of their earthly life, "I hope I've been good enough for heaven." And I hear it way too often. Stop it, brothers and sisters. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? If yes, then His blood is sufficient. There's no sin that you have committed in the past. There's no sin that you're wrestling with right now that is too big to be covered by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's wrath is averted. That's the way the Bible talks about it. God's wrath is averted. His mercy, we talked about mercy last time I was with you. His mercy is yours. Know peace with God. Don't be afraid anymore. Peace. So first, this biblical New Testament concept of peace has to do with our peace with God. And second, it has to do with our peace with ourselves. It was mentioned this morning in Sunday school how the enemy is always with us and whispering in our ears, "You can't overcome this problem. You don't know the Bible well enough. You don't pray enough. How could you deserve heaven? This pain, this health problem will defeat you. How could God love someone like you? That person was so dreadful to you. How could you ever forgive them?" The enemy whispers into our ears. And again, I want you to hear Paul speaking to the Philippians. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:4-7. Catch it? He will guard your hearts with His peace. When Satan whispers, when Satan attacks, He will guard your heart with his peace. No matter what attack you're under, you can talk with the Lord about it. And you can dismiss worry. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses is worried. He's upset. He's doubtful. How can I lead this rebellious people, Lord, even after they've seen your miracles? They keep rebelling. Am I good enough to be your servant in this, Lord? Without you, I can't do anything. Lord, show me your glory, he cries. Let me experience your glory. Show me your glory. And the Lord God expresses to Moses that we in our humanness can't fully experience God's glory. We couldn't stand it. But he tells Moses, he said, I'm going to pass by you. My glory is going to pass by you. And I'm going to put you over here in the cleft of this rock and cover you with my hand as my glory passes by. You get it? He will guard Moses' heart with his peace. The blind songwriter, Fanny Crosby, who was blinded by a doctor's error, if you know her story. The eye problem she had could have easily been taken care of, but a careless doctor put the wrong medicine on her eyes and she was blind as a child. This woman with such great intelligence, with such a love for the Lord, with so much knowledge about the Bible, in a day when it was even harder for blind people than it would be is today. But she wrote a hymn based on this passage of Moses being hid in the cleft of the rock. Now I want you to think about all the problems that she had to overcome as she listened to the words. I'm going to sing it for you. Your Savior, the Lord Jesus, will help you. He will comfort you. He will lead you. He will forgive you. He will use you as a servant in his kingdom. He will guard your heart from the attack of the enemy. He will grant you peace in a way that the world can't understand. He will grant you peace in a way that the lost world doesn't make sense to them. So let me sing it for you. And listen to the word. I know you know the hymn. You've sung it. But listen to the words in the context of our study this morning.
My life in the depths of his love
with his hand and covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength for the day. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds in the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. So this biblical concept of peace begins with peace with our relationship with God and moves on to our peace with ourselves and then moves on to peace with others. And this is often where we begin when we think about peace. But you see, it's really a natural outgrowth of the other two, peace with God and peace with ourselves. Romans 12:18, which I call the golden verse of Christian counseling, says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And of course, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount declares, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God, Matthew 5:9. Our responsibility and our calling in this broken and very unpeaceful world is to try to bring the lost to peace. And how do we do that? By bringing them to Jesus. See how it works? This promised peace can only come through the acceptance of Jesus as Lord and Savior. So as peacemakers, our calling is to bring the lost to Jesus so that they might know peace. Do you know the story of Desmond Doss? Some of you know that story. He was from Virginia, a shy young man from Virginia, raised in the Seventh-day Adventist home, very devout. And during the height of World War II, he felt he must enlist in light of what was going on, but not to take a gun. He had strong feelings about that, but to be a medic. In fact, he refused the weapons training that medics had to go through and was beaten and bullied and looked down upon. But Desmond Doss, friends, is the only conscientious objector ever to win the Congressional Medal of Honor. It happened in 1945 as the war raged in the Pacific. Das and his unit faced a huge rock wall called the Niata Escarpment, and the troops needed to climb that wall as to move in and take this island. They used those rope nets like sailors go down the side of a boat. They got them up on the cliff, and then the troops started to scramble up those rope nets, only to find once they were up there that the Japanese were waiting in hiding for them. Two-thirds of the men in Doss's unit were killed or wounded and left to die as the retreat was called, and the soldiers scampered back to climb down the ropes of that rock face, all except one, Desmond Doss, stayed on top, stayed against the enemy. He was wounded himself, and he began to root through the hundreds and hundreds of wounded to find those who were still living, and then to lower them down, to bind them up and lower them down over that rock face, hand over hand, till his hands were raw. He saved 75 men that day single-handed, without a gun. His story is told in the book, an excellent movie called Hacksaw Ridge. I recommend it to you. The movie's a little grisly. It's a very accurate about the war. That's an amazing story. You see, it is a war out there. Satan's at war with the truth. And our world can be very broken and very violent. You know that. But we are the sons and daughters of God's peace. And we are peacemakers as we live for Jesus every day. And we are peacemakers as we live like Christ and follow his example. And we are peacemakers as we bring others to Jesus. So like Anna Essinger in the story I talked about at the beginning, let us make peace by teaching the children in word and deed and love. Like my little Natalie, who knew she could call Pap and ask for prayer today. That's a peacemaking moment for me. And like the children, our grandchildren that we have opportunity to love and care for and talk about Jesus. That's peacemaking. And family members, co-workers, and neighbors who we have the opportunity to live the example of Christ in front of, and maybe the door open to say a word about our faith in Jesus and to lead them to Jesus. That's peacemaking work, you see. And like Desmond Doss, let us make peace by living out Christ's example, even when the world doesn't understand. The other soldiers and even those over Doss just thought he was a young fool. They hated him. His comrades in his barracks beat him up and bullied him. But he lived out Christ's example, even when no one else understood. And then became their hero and led many of them to explore more about this Jesus. When Doss was in the middle of that saving, on top of that rocky cliff, with Japanese guns still firing, and him finding those who were still living and tying them up and then lowering them down over the cliff. And at first they didn't even know, those down below didn't know what. Who's sending all these down? They didn't know. Later they'd realize it was Doss. because he did that one after another after another, 75, he said. His prayer was, Lord, let me save just one more. And that's our peacemaker prayer. Lord, let me save just one more. One more grandchild. One more son or daughter. One more brother or sister. One more co-worker, one neighbor, more neighbor. Lord, let me save just one more. And bring them to your peace. The hymn that we're going to sing to close is another one with a great story, and I suspect you know it. Horatio Spafford was a wealthy businessman from Chicago. And he and his wife and daughters were going across the ocean to Europe to be part of an evangelistic campaign. The Chicago fire happened, and he lost a lot of property in that fire. And in the days of dealing with all that, he said to his wife and his daughters, you go on ahead and I'll meet you when I can. And on the way across the ocean, their ship sunk. And Spafford got a telegram from his wife while he was desperate. He knew about the sinking. They said not many survived, and he was just, you know, beside himself wondering. He got a simple telegram from his wife that said, saved alone. His daughters had perished. He got the next ship that he could across. And when they got to about the place where the other ship had sunk, the captain called him up and said, to the best of my understanding, this is about where the ship went down. And he went back to his room and he penned the words that we're going to sing in a moment. When peace like the river tendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, I've learned to say, it is well with my soul. Where'd that well, it is well with my soul, where'd that come from? Where'd that peace come from? It came from his faith in Jesus Christ. And he pens those words, speaking out of his own grief. And they have become a favorite hymn of millions and millions of Christians all over the world. Find that beautiful hymn to bring them comfort. Lord, let me say just one more. Peace. You're a peacemaker. Peace begins with our peace with God. He's forgiven you and me. We don't have to be afraid. Salvation in Christ is sure. And it begins with peace with ourselves. When we doubt ourselves, when we're not sure, when we don't feel like we're good enough, he assures us of how much he loves us and how he will use us in ministry. And then peace with others is how we live that out. As we live for Christ, as we live by his example, as we pray Desmond's prayer, Lord, let me say just one more. One more grandchild, one more son or daughter, one more brother or sister, one more co-worker, one more neighbor. One more. Pray with me. Lord, thank you for your peace, which our world doesn't understand, and frankly, often we have trouble understanding it fully. But thank you for your peace. Maybe we understand a little more today. And thank you for witnesses like Anna, who saved all those children when the world was just going crazy around them. And like Desmond, who refused to carry a gun, but saved 75 people in the midst of a terrible battle. And like each of us, who have loved ones close to our hearts, who aren't walking with you, have co-workers and neighbors and friends who aren't walking with you. And the peace that you've given us help us to be peacemakers and save just one more. Bless us now as we share in this amazing hymn of one who lost his dear daughters and yet could speak the word of his peace and how it has touched so many lives ever since. Bless us as we sing in Jesus' name.
Stand for people.
Sisters, may the Lord grant to you his peace. Peace, knowing that you have peace with him, that you're forgiven, loved, in his mercy and in his grace. And peace with yourself, knowing that when the enemy whispers, the Lord will guard your heart and grant you his peace. And peace with others, that you might be a peacemaker and save just one more in your circle of family and friends. Go in his love, go in his grace, go in his peace.